Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to give you a heads up that the episode you are about to listen to is actually an episode from a previous podcast that I used to have with my previous business partner, Rachel. But the episode was so good that I asked her if I could repurpose it for this podcast. And of course, she said yes. So I just want you to know that the podcast you're about to listen to will have both me and Rachel on it. And the sound is not the best. I recorded this when I first moved to my new house and my office was pretty much bare, so it is a little echoey. I have turned on studio sound to try and alleviate that sound quality. However, the episode is still good. It's still juicy. So dive on in and I will see you at the end of the episode.
Hello, everyone. So we are starting a series today. We're going to call it the Mind Messaging Series. The first episode today, we're going to be talking about why people don't buy when it comes to your messaging. So this whole series is going to be around mind messaging. And mind messaging is a methodology that I came up with that combines subconscious and messaging. The episode today, we're going to be talking about why people don't buy from your messaging, why you're putting messaging out that aren't attracting the people you want to attract. I'll even go further. So it's not even why people don't buy. It's why you also might not be attracting the person you actually want to buy. You might be hearing, I can't afford it. You might be getting people interested, but then they never actually take the leap and join. And I might even add a little too, on the flip side, maybe you do get someone to buy, but then they don't get the results that they're capable of getting. So it can, all of this can be encompassed into what we're going to be talking about today. So why people aren't buying in the first place, why you aren't attracting the people who you actually want to buy, and why people are buying, but then aren't a perfect fit slash aren't actually getting the results that they're capable of getting. So I'm going to hand it over to Rachel to talk about the number one reason why we don't think you are attracting people that you want to actually buy your offer.
Yeah. I love that you said it's not maybe that people aren't buying, although that could happen with certain offers that you just literally are hearing crickets. Or again, like Ashley said, you are signing clients, you are signing people into your offers, your programs, and they're just not getting the best results, or they're not necessarily the quote unquote best client. They aren't showing up in the way that you really intend for them to show up, or the caliber of client that you really want to be attracting. And so we're going to dig deep into some of the strategy, of course, and really talking about what you can actually do to correct this so that you can literally listen to this episode, go make some changes and see some different, more productive results for yourself and for your clients and your bank account too. But before we dig into that, the first thing that I think is the most important awareness to have, and you are already, Ashley and I were talking about this earlier, you guys are already aware of all of these things. Our clients are aware of all of these things. However, sometimes we just forget that it's these simple little kind of sneaky things, because the main emotion, I think, that is driving a lot of the actions and then the results of people not buying is that your people who you're marketing to, who are reading your content, your messaging, whatever, they're feeling very confused. And it's not necessarily because they themselves are just a confused person. It's because you, as the seller, the marketer, the person creating the messaging, writing to your people, you are confused. And you might think that is very obvious. Yeah, I'm confused. That's why I'm listening to your podcast, so I can get some actual tangible strategy. And we love that. However, I think it's really important just to bring this concept up, because confusion is a very indulgent emotion. And when I say indulgent, it keeps you stuck And it keeps you thinking that, oh, if I'm confused, well, then I'm just being a confused person. And if you're believing that you are confused about your offer, about your ideal client, about your messaging, you're just confused, then oftentimes what happens, and we see our clients do this all the time, and I've done this many times, which is why I have so much awareness of this too, is if you are thinking you are confused, you're going to look outside of yourself for the answers. You're going to start doing additional, maybe unnecessary market research. You're going to want to make all of these different changes to your ideal client and your offer and this and that and your strategy. And while making changes isn't necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, they're not true data-driven changes. And the changes that you'll make aren't necessarily truly the best strategic decisions that you could make. And so that just creates more confusion. It becomes this thing where you change a lot of different things, a lot of different factors at one time. And so then, oh, no one's buying, or the wrong people are buying. I'm going to change this. I'm going to start talking to this person. I'm going to change this strategy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to add this to my offer. And pretty soon it's just this big snowball of, you have this whopper offer. You have this idea of you're talking to maybe all of the people then, and you're still not clear, all stemming from that idea of confusion. And so if we can just, I think that's the first thing, because all of our actions, which are our strategies and decisions, those are all actions that we make. Those all stem from the emotion. Like, they're inspired by the emotion, or the vibration that we're feeling, stemming from the beliefs that we're thinking. Ashley and I like to say, you can create your own proof. You can take action while feeling a crappy feeling. However, we want to help you see, oh, if I'm doing these things, here are some of the signs and symptoms that I've already talked about that I am confused. And just shifting out of that and noticing, the sooner you shift into, even it doesn't even have to be like confidence or certainty, but it might just be like, oh, I am a person who can figure this out. I know that there are solutions and I am figuring this out. It doesn't have to be, we talk about it in the way of building a bridge belief, so that you're not brainwashing yourself to say, I am the most confident marketer on earth. It doesn't have to be.
I have such clarity.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't have to be that jump, because it's going to, we talk about the critical faculty, Ashley likes to call it, the brain bouncer is going to just like not let that thought in. So that's really all I wanted to say about the confusion thing, but it is so indulgent and it's so sneaky and it's such an easy scapegoat to say, oh, well, why aren't people buying? Oh, I don't know.
When you think about confusion, when you said it, I realized for me personally, that's not my very first thought, is, oh, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little more stubborn and I don't want to admit that I'm the one that's confused. And so I think a lot of people too, this is the same flavor, is that it's not like, you might not initially have the thought of I'm confused. You might have the thought, I'm going to flip it on its head. And some of you guys might be a little triggered. That's okay. You might have the thought of like, I'm so damn good at what I do. People should just be buying. And I don't know why people aren't buying.
Yeah.
We hear that all the time, all the time. And what's so funny is that when we work with our clients, I kid you not, 99% of our clients will come to us and say that I am so good at what I do. I just don't understand why people can't see it. I don't understand why I can't articulate that online. And this won't be in this episode, but in our program, Unbound Marketing, the very first orientation phase, we're talking about the identity of a marketer, because a lot of people, I was just telling Rachel the other day, that a lot of people come from corporate or they come from a 9-to-5 job and they're hired for the skill that they have for that 9-to-5 job. And then they become an entrepreneur. And an entrepreneur is not just getting paid for your skill. You have to also be a seller, a marketer, CFO. You have to be a bookkeeper, a client success manager, a freaking dumping ground sometimes for your clients. You have to wear all of these hats. And a lot of people, because they don't actually, there's two reasons. They don't embody the identity of a marketer, because to them, what they've known as marketing is like sleazy and arduous and hard, and it doesn't feel connected. So they don't actually own the identity of a marketer. So then they go out here and they have this amazing skill and they don't know how to market it effectively. And then they get frustrated and angry. And it's because they are literally confused because they don't know how to actually market it in a great way. Right. And so I love it. I love that Rachel said that because, yes, it's really funny that when we actually dig into this with our clients, we realize that the main emotion is confused, but usually the main thought isn't I'm confused. It's some other flavor of it. It's just the emotion is confusion. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to messaging and creating content and selling and all of that, it is this just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me go out and try to find all of the answers outside of me. And this is also another reason why Rachel and I are so adamant on including the subconscious work and the somatic work in the marketing. It is so, so important. Yes, we do a ton of strategy. That is, I mean, marketing is strategical, but we do have to include some of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's super, super important.
Yeah. The last super quick thing that might be helpful for everyone to hear that I just thought about is I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of grace too, because sometimes your confusion might be warranted because, and I want to say this because we're going to dig into kind of like the how to and a little bit more of the what here in a second, but there's this idea of having confusion that's just like this, again, indulgent, just mind drama of just all of these different thoughts that might be creating confusion. But I also want to say, if you aren't getting the results that you want with your messaging and you feel like something's off with your messaging, with your marketing, you're not exactly sure how to say, again, like Ashley said, how to articulate what you do and the results and all of that, it might feel confusing because you just don't have the skill set yet. And that just might be true.
Like, I think that's so important,
Rachel,
I was going to say that too, because a lot of people, and I really want to point this out, like me and Rachel, literally before we got on this call, we just had this conversation of how we really, really love our partnership and how we came together, because I tend to be the more logical, strategical skill set, the skill set of things. And Rachel is way more of the, okay, let me find out their thought process. Let me find out their emotions. It's not like, she 100% that and 100% that. But we combine it so well. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a coach or something and it's always been a mindset problem. And it's, oh, you just need to change your thoughts. You just need to change your thoughts. And I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I have read so many books. I've done mindset coaching for years now. I understand that, yes, sometimes it is a mindset, but it is not always a mindset. And we talk a lot about that in Unbound Marketing. And we show you, like Rachel talks about what she calls the avoidance loop and all of these things. But most people don't understand that it's a duality. And I'll throw this in. We talk about this in Unbound Marketing too. The law of attraction and the law of action. And we've talked about this. Maybe we've done this on a podcast, I think, or I don't know. I think we might have recorded it in one of the videos where you can literally, and I saw this on TikTok, and it was such an amazing example. I don't remember the person's name. I'd give them credit. But she literally balled up her fist and she said, now, I want you to just think with your mind, open fist, open fist, open your fist. And she's, your fist will not open until you physically take action and open it. Just because you're thinking open fist, I'm literally sitting here holding a fist, it won't open unless you actually take the action of opening it. And I was telling Rachel, oh my God, and it works in tandem. It's duality, because I can also open my fist and not even think about it, but I can also think about it and also open my fist. So I just think that a lot of times, Rachel, I love that you said that, because yeah, guys, like, and we talk about this in the pendulum swing. A lot of times people will go out and they'll hustle and they'll only be in the action side and the very arduous feeling like you do, and they still aren't getting the results they want because they're not actually combining that mindset and somatic part. But then a lot of our clients will then swing all the way over, and then they're like, it's just a mindset issue. I just have to constantly find what mindset, what thought is preventing me from getting this result. And then they go down this whole rabbit hole of just constantly, I don't even want to say shaming themselves. It's like they're trying to do mindset work or shadow work in a very disempowering way, because they're just like, what is the thought? What is the thought that's holding me back? I know it's a mindset issue because I know it's not this. It has to be in the middle. And sometimes it is just you don't have the skill.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is just you have the skill, but you're thinking about it completely differently.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's so, so important. So just like as you're listening, just think about it for yourself. Am I not getting the results that I want? Am I confused about why, or do I actually know why? And do I know that there's just some really terrible thoughts and stuff that I need to just clean up? Or is it actually I am lacking a critical business marketing skill set and I just need to learn it? And when I learn it, as I learn it, it will become more clear. My messaging will automatically just get easier. And you know what I mean? That can also be just as true. And of course, you're confused. You don't know how to do it yet. It's fine.
I will say this. I'm going to add this to Rachel, because me and Rachel both had our own successful businesses. We come together and we have also been very much in the like confusion as well, because it's been really hard to merge both of us together or be, okay, what's this? You're good at this. I'm good at this and X, Y, Z. And I think we've experienced this too. And so I want to say that this is also not like a beginner thing. I've worked with so many entrepreneurs at multiple seven, even eight yep. figures, multiple six, seven, and eight figures. And they have also been in states of confusion. And it's also, and confusion doesn't look like, I just don't know. It can look like having too many things. Rachel yep. said earlier, I coined the term Whopper yeah. offer a long time ago. And I love that it has stuck with so many people. I hear so many people saying it now and I'm like, yes. But it does. It looks like putting more things in your offer, or even like doing things you don't even want to deliver. And because you feel confused on what you like, I also think this is, this is a nuanced thing. I feel like sometimes because you don't know what you should actually deliver to your clients, you're confused on what they need or like what they desire. You're then going to feel confused on what to deliver. Yeah. So because you're confused on what to deliver, they're going to be confused on what they want. And me and Rachel had 1000% been in this. Like we literally just scrapped. Guys, like we recorded an entire module for Unbound. It was called Unbound. And then we just went straight back to the drawing board and we're like, no, this needs to be called Unbound Marketing. We're scrapping this whole module because we were approaching it from a very confused standpoint. And our clients were also confused. And so we got feedback from them and it was amazing feedback. And then it was like, all of a sudden me and Rachel were like, oh my God, we know what we're doing. Like, we've just been indulging in this confusion yeah. because our thought was it's brand new. We're starting over. And that was creating a lot of confusion. So I do want to just say that too, that again, it's not the thought. It might just not be the thought I'm confused. It could be so many other things. For me, it was I'm starting over. Mm-hmm. So of course, when you're starting something over, you're like, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I have to offer something new and I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. So lots of different things. But yeah, that's the only thing I wanted.
Well, we both follow a very successful, like very successful multi-seven figure per year manifestation coach. And she is amazing. She's got her like beliefs and her emotions, the subconscious, the somatic. She's got all of that mostly on lockdown. That is her work. And she recently shared on Instagram that she hired at, again, multiple set, like I think each launch that she does, there's like multiple $1 million in each launch.
The last launch that she did was, I think, 12 million.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So she literally recently shared that creating content and having really solid messaging is her weakest link. And she hired someone who is helping her with that. So again, this is not just a beginner thing.
One day she's going to hire us. So just FYI.
No, but I just thought that was funny.
Speaking
it
into existence.
I love it. I just want to share that because again, you can have all of this success and still, again, there was something off. She was just feeling like there was something off there. And so yeah, sometimes it is literally just the strategy.
Now that we talked about this energy of confusion and how we see it show up, I want to shift gears and I want to actually talk about two things that show up because of that. And these are two things that I would preach till the cows come home. I kid you not. This is something that I am so passionate about. And it's something I feel is my bread and butter too. I could talk about it all day long. So one of the first things that we see as to why people aren't buying and why when they're in that energy of confusion, this is what the result is. They end up not actually speaking to the result when they're actually going out and messaging. So let me give you a great example because I know that sounds like, well, duh. Sometimes, okay, I'll just go to the example. So with Rachel and I, when we first created this program, it was called Unbound. We have now changed it to Unbound Marketing because it is a marketing program. One of the things that we talk about, we're like, what do our clients actually want? What are the results that they want? And of course, we were like, oh, they want more money. They want to make more money. But here's the thing. We didn't go out and we didn't market this program as we're going to help you make more money. The question that you want to ask yourself, because we see so many people go out and they do this and they'll say, oh, I'm speaking to the result that they're going to get. But the result is so vague. If you're just going, oh, I help you make more money. It feels so vague. I could help you make a dollar and you made more money. I fulfilled what I was going to help you do. And then this even creates more confusion for you because then you're like, okay, well, how much money? So there was a phase like 2-3 years ago that was like, I'm going to help you make 10K bucks. And that was still a huge thing. And so then you go, yeah, it probably still is a thing. I don't pay attention to anyone who markets like that. So I don't know. It's probably still out there. But if you're out there and you see that, then all of a sudden, is a fad. And you see 50 million coaches doing that. And then you're like, okay, is everyone just so desperate for 10K months? And what if they're like, does that mean they're 0 to 10K? Or are they 5K, trying to double to 10K? It's still so confusing and it's not attractive to your client. And I actually used to just to do marketing in the high ticket space. I no longer just do that. I think marketing is amazing. But because I used to do high ticket sales or high marketing for high ticket sales, I really paid attention to that higher caliber client. And I will tell you, a higher caliber client does not like generality. They want specificity. So how can you get specific? So you need to ask yourself, what is the reason that my client believes they have not gotten that result? So yes, everyone wants to make more money, but why do they believe, what is the one thing holding them back? The one thing they believe that is keeping them from getting more money. For Rachel and I, it was marketing. Like our people, and it was specifically messaging as well. Our people kept coming to us and saying, I have a really hard time. I'm incredible at what I do. And if I could just show up and do what I love doing and people just pay me, that would be incredible. And I'm like, yeah, that's my definition of marketing. That's what me and Rachel are going to help you do. To me, showing up and doing what you love to do and talking about, just showing up and sharing and showing up and talking about how you're different, not better. There's a huge difference. Like me and my husband actually just had this conversation the other day and I posed that to him and he was like, oh, that's really good. We had a guy come to our door to try to sell pests because we just moved to our new house and he, I guess, sprays for the bugs or whatever in the other area. So he saw we're new. He came in and he basically knocked on the door and he was talking to my husband and it was not a great sales experience. Anyway, so my husband came in and he was complaining about him and he was like, I mean, why should I go with him? What makes him better? And I was like, no, it's not about what makes him better. It's what about makes him different. And I said, because he literally pitched you every other pest control guy. Any other pest company came up to you, they would have all said the exact same thing. We spray once a quarter. If you need help with this, blah, blah, blah. I said, he gave you, no, he did not differentiate himself at all. And my husband was like, oh my God, that's such a good point. I said, it's a huge difference in trying to be better than someone or trying to be different than someone. And Ben was like, if he would have told me how he did it differently than everybody else, he would have gotten our business. And I was like, exactly, Ben, this is what I do. Listen to your wife. Anyways, it was just funny. It was a great conversation. But yeah, and even same, I'm literally going to talk about my husband here too. Because it goes into this, again, being clear on what you help your client with, like the result you help them get and why, again, why they think they have not gotten that result And then being able to actually articulate it online. And I'm going to give you another example of my husband. I think it's so funny that these situations happen with my husband and I'm like, yeah, babe. And then I'll say something and he's like, oh, that was so different. It's just funny. I think when you get into the personal development work and then you start talking about it and then your husband or your spouse starts to pick up on it and then they start saying things, like Ben literally made me listen to Jocko Willink in the car book the other day. And I'm like, I love this so much. So anyways, it's fun. We were in the car and we were talking about, I think they were actually listening to the book. I think this is what started the conversation. I can't remember. I was telling you about it, Rachel, but now I can't remember.
Yeah.
But basically we were talking about how so many people, he was saying that like, if you are really good at what you do, but you're a bad presenter, it's not good for you. He was like, it's a deadly combination when you are an expert at what you do and you actually know how to talk about that and present it. So my husband's in cybersecurity. He's a cybersecurity engineer. And he was like, I follow this guy on YouTube and he was like, he is so good at cybersecurity. He's incredible. He's like, when I watch him, he presents so well. He speaks really well. He knows how to like put things in a format that's easy to follow. And he was like, and he also just completely shifts my perspective on everything as well as giving me tangible things to go and try and do. And he was like, it's so good. He's like, and then follow another guy on YouTube who is incredible. He has amazing knowledge, but he puts me to sleep. I cannot listen to him. I get distracted. And I'm like, yeah, babe, that's exactly what Rachel and I help our clients do. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, our clients are amazing at what they do, but they just don't feel like they can show up and articulate it online. And he was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. That's so important. I was like, yeah. And we were talking about, we also started talking about constructive criticism and how I love constructive criticism. I love feedback. I love, give me all the constructive criticism you possibly can, because I want to know how I can be better and how it can come across easier for you to implement and understand. And anyways, let's tie this all back. For you to be able to show up more articulate online and differentiate yourself online, you don't want to just be speaking to the result. You want to speak to the reason that your client thinks they haven't gotten that result. It's very nuanced, but it's such a huge difference. There's a difference in I help you make more money and your client believing I just don't know how to market on Instagram and you're an Instagram marketer and you're saying, and even going even more nuanced, I don't know how to do Instagram stories and I want to be able, or reels, sorry, I'm going to do reels. I really want to make effective reels so that I can make more money. You're not going to go out there as an Instagram strategist and be like, I help you make more money on Instagram. You're going to say, I'm going to help you nail them damn Instagram reels to where people are literally flocking to you and throwing their credit cards at you because you are so entertaining and you're so good at what you do and how to articulate that in your reels. There is a huge difference. Do you see that? Instead of someone saying, I'm going to help you make more money on Instagram, yeah, you're getting specific. So what is the reason why your clients have not gotten the result that they want? And again, you also need to make it sure that it is the reason for your client, because I'm going to say this really quick. A lot of you guys think, oh, well, the real reason is this. Mm-hmm. The real reason is because they don't know how, or like they're not entertaining or something. You're like, oh, that's insulting. You're not going to say, well, the reason why you're not making money on Instagram is because you're not entertaining.
Yeah, that's not going to get you sales.
No, that's not getting you sales. But that's what happened. A lot of you guys will then be like, well, that's not the real reason. It does not matter. You need to articulate it like with your client. The client needs to say, this is the reason why. Me and Rachel don't just do marketing. We do mindset. We do somatics. We do all of those in there because we understand that they play a very large part. But our clients are coming to us and saying, I'm not making money online, or I'm not making the money I want to make online because I just don't know how to get the negative emotions out of my body. They're not saying that, but we understand that's a big part of marketing, because if you don't feel safe to show up and talk about what you do, then you're not going to be that great at marketing. But our people come to us and they say, I don't know how to create messaging that sells. I don't know how to actually show up and be 100% myself online to where people pay attention to me. Also, another really big one is I don't know how to say what I really want to say without coming across as a butthole. We hear that a lot. We have a lot of clients being like, I really want to say this, but I'm so afraid people are going to cancel me. I'm so afraid it's going to ruffle feathers. You can still say those things, but in a very neutral way. Because a lot of the times that energy of I want to say this, I want to say this, but I'm afraid to, it's also coming from that energy of confusion and frustration because you're like, oh, why aren't people getting it? That's what it is. And so then you go out and you try to create content and yell and scream and make them wrong because you're confused and you're like, well, y'all are just confused. My clients are just confused on what I do. And then you just go out and berate them for being confused. Again, I'm going nuanced here, but these are things that we talk about. You can say very controversial things in a very neutral way and that doesn't trigger people, but instead, like, I was literally going to be cheesy and say transforms people, but it shifts their thinking.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on to that, Rachel?
No, I mean, I think that, yeah, we're going to dig even deeper into the not speaking to the results thing in the next episode in this series. And so there's so much more that we have to say about that. But before we dig into the ideal client piece, I just want to give one super quick example. Ashley's usually the example queen, but one popped into my head. So I wanted to share that, like a personal example. When I first started my business, it's super funny because this is just like all of this stuff in this business offer creation idea, all of this stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a skill set that I've learned, but also a lot of it is just really innate wisdom, I think, that I have because no one taught me this. But I was, after just having experience of my own doing this, I was helping women start their own online business and helping them sign their first few clients. That's what I was doing. And so I could have just marketed, which a lot of people were doing at that time. This was in 2018, 2019. A lot of people were just talking about you want money and you want freedom. And they're still talking about that because those are two things that every human on earth ever wants. Like they want money, they want freedom, but that doesn't set you apart at all. And so just to give this quick example, to answer that question, why didn't they have it? Why didn't these women have the money that they wanted and the freedom or time freedom, flexibility that they wanted? Well, in their minds, they, one, had no idea what to do, what type of business to start and how to create it. Either they were a stay-at-home mom or they had just like a side hustle or they were in an MLM that basically said, here's the offer, sell it. And, or they were in a job or they were whatever. And so they had no idea how to even start an online business, what they would even do, how to create an offer and package it. They didn't not know any of that. And the other underlying reason was they just were really lacking confidence. They had the deep desire, but they were really lacking confidence because they had never done it before. So those were the two main reasons why they thought they didn't have the money and the freedom that they wanted. And so I marketed to that. I had this entire process that I mapped out where the first step was helping them figure out their perfect business idea and bringing that online. And that was so incredibly effective. People were flocking to me because I helped them with my process, which was called Purpose, Passion, Profit. And that was step one of my process. And it was so fascinating just thinking about that for yourself too, because something that we teach in Unbound Marketing is how to have your signature process. And that is also what differentiates you. And so, yeah, it was really fascinating to watch people come to me and tell me exactly these things that they're like, I don't know what to do. And so I helped them figure out what is the perfect business idea for them based on their skill sets, their talents, their passions, their schedule, like what they wanted to do, what they were already good at. So they weren't creating just some crap offer that someone else in the world was creating. It was custom to them. And that automatically made them feel more confident because they weren't faking this offer. And anyways, I could dig into the offer more, but I won't now. But I just thought that was a really good example of that because, again, they were able to get the freedom and the money that they wanted, but through the pathway that they already knew was the pathway. Like I didn't have to hard sell them and convince them that this was what they wanted, because that's what they already wanted and needed. So
yeah, it's really great. And guys, a fun fact, Rachel used to be my client back in the day. Like we met in a mastermind, then she hired me to help her with her marketing. And I will say it was during a transition period because she used to do that. And then she was like, well, I don't want to help them start. I kind of want to help them grow in a way. And so seeing this is so cool to see how you started there and where you are now. And even the messaging that we, I think it was helping them sign their first five clients or something like that, or their next five clients or whatever. But it was something that was like, it felt attainable. And we're going to talk about this in another episode as well. Actually, no, I think we're talking about in this one, but I can explain it in another episode. This will lead into the second one, which is one of the biggest things that we see is why people aren't attracting who they want to attract, or why people aren't buying their offer like hotcakes. They're making some sales, but not a lot. If their ideal client isn't clear enough. And now I know you're probably like, well, duh, oh my gosh. And, or you might even go in the opposite and be like, no, I know who the hell my ideal client is. I used to hear that all the time, especially from my 7-8-figure clients. And then I would say, really, who your ideal client is? Do all of your clients get the same results? Are all of your clients a great, perfect fit client? And they would say, no. And I'm like, what's your percentage, do you say? And if it was under 90%, I'm like, yeah, you don't know who your ideal client is. And so I developed this process called the 5A method, into which I have combined kind of subconscious work as well as consumer behaviors, consumer psychology. And I help our clients create their ideal client through the lens of what I call the 5A method. So the 5As are, one is their assets. So what do they already need to have in place before they buy from you? And should I do an entire podcast? I'm like listening here. I should do an entire podcast on this. So maybe I like won't go into extreme details here, but I'll just give you guys a sneak peek and then I'll do another podcast.
Yeah, let's just give the overview of, again, this is just one of the reasons why people might not be buying, and give the overview of kind of what we teach, and then we can dig deeper into it later.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I'll do an entire podcast because I could be here for an hour talking about this. So the 5A method, first is assets. So what do they already own or have in place to make them a perfect fit for your offer? Two is, what are the actions they've already taken? So what are the previous actions they've already taken? And three is, what are their abilities? So this could be skills. And I will use a very quick example like for this, and then I'll dig into another time. But four is awareness. So what do they already know? What are they already aware of? Right. And five is attractions. So when I mean attractions, this is their like internal attractions. It's their emotional addictions, their desires. It's their, I like to say, if this, then that statement. So they think, if I made more money, then that would mean X, Y, and Z about me. And it's important to know these factors because it's the emotional side that you can speak to when you're creating content, but not in that manipulative way of like, you're broken and everything is wrong and nothing you've ever tried has worked. We don't like that type of marketing at all, but it's really important because you also understand them on a logical and emotional level. And it's so much easier to speak to them if you understand. Like I can, me and Rachel can both be sitting here and I can say, Rachel, I'm sad. And Rachel can be like, I'm sad too. And yeah, we understand that we're sad, but the reason why I'm sad is going to be different than the reason that Rachel is sad. So because we're both sad, like it doesn't make us as connected unless we had the same reason for being sad. Yeah. Right. Then we feel very connected. And that's the attraction piece, is like you're getting into the deeper understanding of what they believe and what makes them tick. So I'll do a very quick example of each one of these with, I use this example all the time, but let's say you were an email marketing strategist, and I've used this so many times, I could do it in my sleep. If you were an email marketing strategist and you were trying to figure out your ideal client, you would say, what are the assets that they already have? So if I was an email marketing strategist, and let's say I'm helping them create sales emails, I would want them to have already made sales from their emails. It would be a lot easier for me to be able to create a sales sequence if they have already had proof that people are buying from their email list. So let's say they have proof that 50 people have bought from their email list. Maybe they already have at least 5,000 subscribers. Maybe they already have an open rate of 30%. I don't even know what a good open rate is. I'm just making things up. Those are the assets that I'd want them to have. I'd also want them to already have a sellable and verified offer, like a validated offer. Yeah. So have people bought that offer before? XYZ. So these are just some examples of the asset. It would be so much easier for you to write a sales sequence if that person had those things in place. Mm-hmm. Then the second is actions. What actions have they already taken in the past? Maybe they have already sent out an email 2 times a week for the last year. So their list is nurtured. People understand their list. It would be different. Let's say they haven't emailed their list in a year. Do you think it's going to be easy to create a sales launch and a sales sequence and people sell from it if they haven't heard from you yet? No, it's going to make it harder. But that is what an action would be. They've already taken previous actions. Also, another thing, but this will go into the three, which is the abilities. And I will say actions and abilities and awareness sometimes can bleed into each other, and that's totally okay. I just like to break it up this way because it gets your brain just jogging and the greatest examples. Abilities are their skills. I would want them to have already had the skill of copywriting and the knowledge of copywriting, because that would make me it would make it a lot easier to go in and step into their voice. If I am creating sales sequences, I would want it to sound like them. I would also want them to understand how sales psychology works. Amazing. That would be so much easier for me to create a sales sequence, right? And then four is awareness. So their knowledge. And what do they think? So this is a really silly one, but I would not want them to think email marketing is dead. So if I'm out there preaching on my freaking social media, email marketing is not dead. I am not going to attract the client, the high caliber client that I want to attract, because my client is not going to even fathom the thought email marketing is not dead. They would not be hiring you if they had the thought email marketing is not dead. So you would want them to have the thought email marketing is my most lucrative sales deal, like sales revenue. It's about sales stream is the word I was looking for. You need to know, like, you want them to already have thoughts that serve you and knowledge that serve you. Another thing would be, I would want them to already know all of the backend things on their email platform. Let's say they use ConvertKit. We use ConvertKit. If they already knew how to set everything up in ConvertKit, that would be so much easier for me, because then I could just write the sales sequence, hand it over to them, and not have to worry about it not getting actually sent out correctly, or it not getting put in the tag or sequence or whatever. So I would want them to have the awareness and the knowledge of that. And then the last is attraction. So again, this is that subconscious thing. So attractions would be there. If I do this in an if this, then that statement, if I put myself in their shoes, they're thinking, if I had a good sales sequence, then that would then X, Y, and Z. So what I would want them to think is, then my clients would feel seen, heard, and feel comfortable buying from me. So if I'm going out there and I'm marketing, I would say, you want your clients to feel seen, heard, and safe enough to buy from you. So if my client, sometimes I actually give this to my ideal client, like I will say, I give them the prompt of if this, then that. If I had powerful marketing, then XYZ, they literally are doing your marketing for you. And then you're taking those statements and you're going out and you're creating content that's speaking directly to them, because they are straight from their thoughts. Okay. Boom. Mic drop. There we go. Yes. But I will do an entire podcast on this full method and give you a lot more examples, but that's just one that I really love to go through. And this is the nuance of messaging and your ideal client, because when your ideal client is this nailed in, guess what? Your offer gets so much more clear, and your marketing and your messaging gets so much more clear. And it is the difference between attracting someone that you're trying to convince that email marketing is not dead to someone who's, oh God, no, marketing or email marketing is my like most lucrative sales stream. It's such a big difference, and it's so nuanced in how you're talking, and it's going to look so different than the mainstream marketing message out there. Yeah, so
absolutely.
There we go. So that is why today, from the series one, why we think people are not buying. And then next week,
we're talking about, digging into the results. So we talked about being unclear with your ideal client and with the results, and being unclear with the results also stems from being unclear on your offer. And so we'll dig into that, because the way that we teach offer and ideal client is so different. Again, not better, just so different and effective than so many of the ways that people are doing it, and that you may have created your offer and ideal client up to this point.
Okay. Awesome. We hope you enjoyed this and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, I mean barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.